great to have you on the show. And it's, I've been saying it for a while. It was inevitable as taxes and the sun rising tomorrow that the NHL was going to get some kind of advertising on their jersey. Today it comes to pass that it's 3 inches by 3.5 inch patch on the jersey. Are you surprised that they took this step, or is this a necessary COVID issue?
Not surprised, Strutty. A little bit disappointed just of the whole going the way of the advertisement. I know it was inevitable, and you're right about that. But Struds, part of me, like the kid in me, the fan that loves the game, watching it with limited ads on the ice. Obviously, there was always ads on the boards, but I didn't want the NHL to put patches with logos from brands on those beautiful sweaters. But we knew it was coming. So, and I totally understand the revenue that comes with it. If it's done right, though, Strutty, and it doesn't, you know, take your eye for the wrong reasons, then fine. And the NHL is a business. This is part of it. So as much as it was to my chagrin, and I think a lot of people probably feel the same way, you knew this was coming, especially with how well the helmet decal went last year, or decal, however you want to say it, that you know, people didn't really mind those to the point where they extended it. Now I'm pretty sure it's going to become a permanent fixture on the sides of the helmets. It's funny, Struds. Like, I think the NHL, with all the ads on the ice now, and obviously they put the superimposed ads via the broadcast, now on the jerseys, already on the helmets. It reminds me of the AHL from the early 90s to the early 2000s, where you saw all the logos on the ice, on the helmets, on the jerseys. You could even point to, it's not as bad as European uniforms and ice and stuff, but it's almost like the NHL is now where the AHL was, you know, 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah, and you know, it's just too easy. It's just easy money. You know, what's the effort to slap a patch on there? It's nothing for the team. It doesn't, you have to figure out what it's going to be. You know, maybe you got to just make sure the design's right and you have to fit some criteria, but it takes a trainer 20 seconds to put one of those on there, and then you have instant money. So I've said it, they were going to get one, and this won't be the last. You're going to see other ones. At some point, I think you might see it on the back, like just below where some people get a tattoo above their belt line. I think just below the bottom of the jersey, because those are wild in Europe. And I wouldn't be surprised at some point to see it on the thighs of the pants. You know, I think those are very visible places. Those areas don't really affect the logo, you know, because the logo, I think, is something they want to make sure kind of stands out. And it doesn't affect the number or the name on the back. So those are two areas that are very widely used in Europe. Like when I was in Europe playing in Hungary, the Hungarian Hockey League, we had they got one restaurant to sponsor us for to eat for free there. And so I had one restaurant on one thigh and the other restaurant on the other thigh. And that's what we did. And like, I was like, it looks so busy. But you know what? After a while, you kind of get used to it. And I heard, Connor Halley and Awanek talking about it. Like, eventually it just kind of comes the norm. So for a group of generations now, Tommy, it's just going to be a normal thing. And I trust me, I think within 5 years, you'll have three spots on the NHL jersey or on an NHL player covered with advertising.
Strutty, and you're probably right. Like, it's, again, another inevitability. But I hope they do it properly. And the NBA has actually done a pretty nice job with making it look clean and streamlined with the uniform, where it's not that obnoxious and in your face. Like, I thought even last year with the helmet decals, some of them were done where it didn't really affect you and you didn't notice it unless you look. But I remember Pittsburgh right out of the gate, I believe they had a big bright blue decal on theirs that had PPG paints on the side of their black helmet.
Right.
And it was distracting, didn't fit with the rest of the uniform. So if they do it in a way where it's like clean and respectable to the uniform and that team's brand and that team's logo, then okay. But, you know, in a perfect world, we're not seeing any advertisements going on any NHL uniforms, but that's not where we're at. And they're hurting for money, and I'm sure they don't mind bringing in that added revenue either.
Yeah, when you look at it, I guess, you know, it's easy revenue. And they got to find a way to make this happen. But, you know, do you think it'll turn fans off from buying jerseys when we see this type of advertising, you know, just you know, on their favorite team's jersey, whatever team you're cheering for?
That's the interesting part is will they keep the ads off of the resale uniforms that or the replica uniforms that you see at sports shops or you could buy online? Like, I think my guess is they won't put the ads on the uniforms when you buy them from wherever. Unlike, you know, soccer kits, they're, you know, sublimated right in. Every year they're different. So I think that's why it's part of it. I know F1, obviously, the F1 team's advertising is huge, always has been a part of it. So if you go get like a sweater like Hernan Salas did of, he got the Mercedes Petronas team, and it's just littered with ads. So I don't know if it'll turn people away from buying uniforms unless they go out of their way to put the ads on those specific uniforms, which I have doubts that they would do that. I think they'd want to leave it as clean and normal as possible in the in selling the replicas.
Talking with Tom Gazzola, I can hear him every day here on the station with Jason Greger. This is the Greger Show. I am Jason Strubick. He's Connor Halley, and it's just after 2:30. Tom, you know, there was another incident last night with a fan going on to the field with the San Francisco Giants. Are there more of these now than before, or are we just able to see them more because everyone and their dog has two cell phones in their pocket and can videotape it?
Struds, it feels like this is happening way more. And I don't know if anybody caught this yesterday in the Giants game, but this guy got onto the field. He hopped over the first baseline through the dugout area, and he ran around for a good minute. And, Struddy, like, here's the weird part. Usually security chases after these guys pretty quickly and gets them wrapped up or tackled or whatever. This guy had a chance to casually saunter from home plate to the mound. He sat, waved off some pitches, and then he feigned a pitch. And the security dude didn't even rush to him when he was stepping up on the mound. And it's funny, the players don't even bother anyway. They, like, got out of his way. It was almost like it was very laissez-faire, which made it odd in a way, as opposed to what we saw last week. Where was it? Was it at the Dodger game where the – I think it was the ball girl threw the guy over the fence and over the railing and basically had the tackle of the night, which was outstanding.
Yeah, I loved it.
It was hilarious. But, yeah, this guy, like, you see three security guards just kind of casually walk out there, saunter up. The players get off the mound. This guy gets the leg up, and he winds up for the fake pitch. And then finally they just tackle him. So I think something's going on. Maybe it was the year of not going to games or whatever, but it feels like almost every second day we're getting some sort of weird incident on field, on court, thankfully not on ice. I still think of that crazy lady that was yelling and giving it to LeBron in the middle of a game where she looked like an obnoxious fan. And thought she could just rip into LeBron, and he's like, what's wrong with you? So maybe it's pent-up frustration from the last year and a half. Maybe people just have too many pops and they do something silly, but it feels like we're seeing more and more of these. They're funny to watch for the most part, but, you know, people shouldn't be doing this.
Tim Tebow, at 34 years old, decided he was going to become a couple of years ago, he decided to become a baseball player after not working out as an NFL player. Then he decided he's going to go back to the NFL, ask Urban Meyer, the head coach of Jacksonville Jaguars, for a tryout. Gets it as a tight end. I mean, you know, he works hard, but pretty much every professional athlete in the history of sports has worked hard. Why is there so much love around this guy and affection where some people are actually disappointed he didn't make it as a position he's never played before and then when he wasn't very good as a quarterback in the first place?
Right. I mean, I think it's just this – he's more than just an athlete. You know, Strudy, I think he's pretty highly followed in the faith – side of things. I know he's very religious, and I think that's part of his following as well. So, you know, that's part of anytime you see something to do with Tim Tebow. He's got a large following of fans that follow him for not just what he was able to do on the field, on the diamond, but just the type of person he is. He's a very positive guy. He did TV work. He did it very well, I thought. He's well-spoken. So I think that there's that kind of allure around him. And there were people that were rooting for him when he was the Broncos quarterback and wanted him to succeed. And even back then, they were saying maybe you should convert to a tight end. And even though he never played the position, you know, he captures the minds and hearts of so many people that his jersey sales were good. Even when he went to Jacksonville, I think there was stories popping up about his Jacksonville jersey sales were through the roof. So that's part of it, too. It's advertising, marketing. And it's an easy way to get people's attention because you bring in a guy like Tim Tebow. And you know what? If he can't cut it on the field, he's not going to make the team. And that's exactly what happened with the Jags. Good on him for playing ball for a few years, Struts. I think he made it up as far as double A and was, you know, not great, but okay. And I respect the hell out of that, too. So maybe this is the swan song for Tim Tebow's athletic career. I'm sure we're going to see him a bunch again on TV. And he'll be just fine because he does have a following. He has done it in multiple sports, and people like him to begin with.
Yeah, you know what? He works hard, and you know maybe he'll take a there's another job. Maybe he could go to bobsled. You know, he is strong. You know, like that. And I'm being serious. Like it seems to me, a lot of powerful, strong guys and ladies go into bobsledding, right? And push and do that. So I would be surprised if he took one more crack at something. Like, I think he just, yeah. I think he loves athletics. And I'm joking a bit. Like, he, and every time you hear it, he works so hard. Yeah, everyone works hard. Like, it's, you know, he's in the best shape of his life. Yeah, they all are. They're all trying to get in shape all the time. So, but I think, I bet she tries one more sport, man. Honestly, I think he
will. Hey, Jesse Lumsden did it.
Yeah,
right?
Jesse. Yeah, good example. Yep. I think that's a really good example. So, no, I don't know if there's much money in bobsled. Probably way less than he would make on his gig as a TV guy, but you know, he can pause that for a few years because you're right. He is good on TV. He's got a good following. He looks the part. He says the right things. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But Tom, thanks for this, buddy. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow on a hump day, Wednesday.
Looking forward to it, Strutty.